Before I begin, I simply want to thank David McIntyre, your senior pastor, for the invitation to preach this morning. I'm honored to be here, and thank you, Nikki Taylor, for your ministry among us in your first few weeks here as the new associate pastor. Our family has lived here in Lakeland for the last 5 years since I was appointed to be the assistant to the bishop in the Florida Conference, and we love this church. We love this community. We love being in Lakeland. It's a wonderful gift for us as a family, and it's a wonderful gift for me personally because I get to remember so many memories from when I served here as the youth intern and pastoral intern while I was a student at Florida Southern College. It's hard to believe that it's been 25 years since I first came to Lakeland. I've lost a little hair since then, but it's great to be here. And I also just want to acknowledge the leadership of your pastors, of your staff, of your lay leadership. I see many of your lay leaders here this morning. I know some are watching online. How incredible it has been to watch First United Methodist Church of Lakeland walk through this season of a pandemic, to continue to be in ministry to the community, to be resilient, to continue to reach out to those in need. And as our family has worshiped together with you, both virtually and in person, I've just been amazed by God and how God has been at work through you. So thank you for your faithfulness. This morning and next week, we're taking a short break from the sermon series called Soul Reset. You have been reading Reverend Junius Dotson's book, Soul Reset. If you haven't been reading that book or listening to the sermons or doing the daily activities on Facebook, I encourage you to do so. They've been a gift to me and I hope to you. Next week, Bishop Carter will be preaching here. He's here this morning with us as well. And although this is not officially part of the sermon series, I decided that you can't really take a break from resetting your soul, right? And so this morning, I just want to share a little bit about how I have been trying to allow God to continually reset my soul throughout this pandemic, how God continues to reset the soul of the church in this season, and to reconnect with a passage of Scripture that for me is what I would call a touchstone, something I come back to. Margaret Wheatley might call it an island of sanity, a place where you can just feel God's presence and God's peace. When the pandemic first started over a year and a half ago and we started meeting virtually, one of the ways we tried to finish our meetings, many of our meetings, was through sharing a blessing with one another. Sometimes Bishop Carter would invite us to even extend our hands towards the screen so even though we were not in person, we could experience the blessings of God and the blessings of community. And often the way we finished our meetings was this passage from Numbers chapter 6. You know it well. Some of you grew up saying it through the UMYF benediction. We've said it in this church many times. So let us read together Numbers 6, beginning with the 22nd verse. It's on your screen. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, 'Thus you shall bless the Israelites. You shall say to them, May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.'" Let us pray. O God, we stand in need of a word from you this morning. It's been a long season for many in this room, for many who are watching online, and it's been quite a week. There are many things on our minds. So this morning, quiet our minds and open our hearts so that we might hear from you. And help me to get out of the way so that your way may be known, your love proclaimed. In the name of the risen Christ, we pray. Amen. You know, I realized often how I just need to return to the Scriptures, especially in a season of uncertainty, to believe once again that this is the lamp unto my feet, the light unto my path. And so I've been blessed throughout this pandemic to try to just have an opportunity to quiet my soul and read the Scripture. Many of you have been doing that. joining us throughout the conference in reading Scripture together. And honestly, in so many shifts, and hasn't there been all kinds of shifts in the last year and a half? So much uncertainty, so many things that we don't even know where to turn. It's reminded me how dependent I am on God and on God's Word and on these Scriptures. There are powerful images throughout the Old Testament, throughout the first five books of the Bible, and I've enjoyed reading the Old Testament together with many others. But over the last few weeks, I kept coming back to this concept of God's blessings. The word for blessing or bless is used over 400 times in the Old Testament alone. But this particular blessing is one of the most well-known. It has been said at countless worship services, prayed over people before they travel. We say it at youth group, at the end of youth group every Sunday when I was here. We looked each other in the eye and said it. At the camp in Leesburg on Monday before the campers were to arrive, we would sit in the chapel and say these words just to remind ourselves of who God is. If you're like me, I can say it without thinking about it. And I'm sure some of you have worn a t-shirt with it printed on it or a mug that has some of the words. But because it's so familiar, I think we can easily forget the context. If you notice in verse 22, if you'll place the scripture back on the screen, the context is God speaking to Moses, saying to Moses, speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, this is how you shall bless the people. You shall say this to them. That's why it's called the Aaronic blessing. It's Moses teaching Aaron how to bless the people. It was said, some would say it was said every day when they were going through the wilderness. There's versions of this throughout the scriptures. We can see it there. And in fact, some of you were in the Holy Land with us and with David McIntyre and others, Bishop Carter and the Ordinands. And I think we had about 400 total right before the pandemic started. We were there in the Holy Land and we went to the Israel Museum, where they have the Dead Sea Scrolls, some of the most ancient texts that we have. And one of the most oldest scrolls there, if you remember, at the Shrine of the Book, when they found it in the 1980s in a cave outside of Jerusalem and they unrolled it carefully, this was the passage written on that scroll. So it's an ancient text, one that has a lot to share with us. It's found in the middle of a section of Numbers that describes Israel's preparations for leaving Mount Sinai, where the people have been camped for almost a year, and the continuation of their journey through the wilderness to the Promised Land. I don't know about you, but the last year and a half sometimes feels like we're in the wilderness and we keep circling one more time, right? I mean, just as we started to think that things were beginning to open up, things were feeling safer, I know as a vaccinated person, I began to feel like I could feel more comfortable in a space again. And then we see the news and the next thing, and we begin to wonder, how do we keep ourselves and our families and our neighbors safe? How do we make sure that we're doing all we can to protect ourselves? Just as we think we're getting to the Promised Land, we go back through the wilderness. So we need to hear a word from God again. If you look at the passage here, you can see that there are six verbs. Each of them have the same subject. God is the subject of each of these verbs. Some have pointed out that each line is longer, progressively longer in the Hebrew, showing the increasing amount of God's blessing. And because God is the subject of each of these verbs, we remember that God is the primary actor in any act of blessing. God is the subject. Blessings come from God. As one person has put it, you can't bless yourself. Despite all the effort someone else might take, no human being can provide everything you need. The last few weeks I've wondered, do I really recognize and acknowledge that God is with me at all times, that life is a gift, as we just said together? Or am I trying to take care of it all by myself, as Pastor David preached last week about Martha? And in this passage, you see words like bless and keep. The word keep means to protect, especially to protect those who might be vulnerable to evil, those who might be in danger. It says to make the Lord's face to shine upon us, reminding us that God's light and God's hope wants to come into our lives and make us a shining gift to others, to be gracious to us, to lift up God's countenance upon us. And of course, the climax of this blessing is to give us peace. There's a lot of talk around peace. We've been talking about peace for some time. Your pastors, our pastors here, have reminded us that this word for peace is shalom. It means the fullness, the completeness of God's wholeness in our lives. Not just the absence of conflict, but the presence of Christ, the presence of God. So many powerful words in this great context of Scripture. But what do we do with it? Do we just read it or repeat it or say it? Or maybe God has something to ask of us to do in response to this blessing. There are two things I see in my own life, and I hope you can recognize them in your own, that maybe God is pushing me just a little bit further through these words this morning. The first, of course, is to receive all the blessings God has given us. To acknowledge, to embrace, to celebrate all the ways God is at work in our world and in our lives. As Bishop Dick Wills shared with me in my very first appointment at Christ Church in Fort Lauderdale, and he worships with us most Sundays in the 9:30 service, you can't share what you don't have. And so in order to live the life God has called you, you have to begin each day receiving, acknowledging, celebrating that God's gift is all around us. There's an old song, many of you used to sing it, I think. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings and see what the Lord has done. If you go back and read the history of prayer in the Jewish culture, and still today, their whole day was filled with prayer. Blessings to remember that all of life is a gift. And in the same way, we have to count our blessings. When you start to live in a world as if it is inhabited by God, a God who blesses us, a Christ who has redeemed us, a Holy Spirit who is with us at all times and in all places, it changes the way you live. So some days I just have to count my blessings, right? Just get out a piece of paper and just start numbering a page and just write out the blessings of God, how God has been with me, how God has been present. It's so easy to get wrapped up in the daily life that you forget God's presence. Our family, in the evening when we sit around the same dinner table, and just so to be real honest, we don't always sit around the same dinner table, even though there's only four of us. Life is busy with an incoming sixth grader, an incoming ninth grader. We're not always around the same table. The pandemic helped us, of course. But when we do gather around the same table, we often share our highs and lows. So we can remember the good things that have happened that day and the things that we wish had been differently. And so it's a balance. And to be honest, some days as we gathered around the table, you had to kind of think of a high and you had more lows than high. Can you relate? Some of you have had more lows than you care to count. In this season, I know, and we just prayed for families who have lost loved ones, for people who have lost jobs, for those who are right on the front lines. And one of what things I've tried to do in this pandemic is really listen to those who are in pain, to those who are struggling, to all of us who are walking through something. But what I find is that even in the midst of the lowest lows, the darkest of days, some way, somehow, we can experience the gift of God's blessing. Just 2 weeks ago, you reminded of the examined, in the day with just thinking about the way God has blessed you. For me, it requires just enough space for God's Spirit to crack through the busyness. It often happens when I'm doing something mindless, like washing the dishes. Now, let's be clear. If you were to ask Angela how much I do around the house, she would give you the full story, and rightfully so, but I do like to wash the dishes. Because for some reason, just that simple act of washing the dishes slows down my mind enough, gets me out of the hurry of the day, that I can remember again, life is a gift. God is with us. We are not alone. Jeremy Hearn told a story to the staff this week about a friend who was mowing the lawn in the heat of Florida in the middle of the day, and suddenly God's presence was made real. God showed up in that moment in the midst of mowing the lawn. Each of us has to create space for us to acknowledge God's blessings and God's presence in our lives. And for some, it is harder than others, and so I recognize that. So, recognize the blessings of God, receive life as a gift, but of course, as we have just said in our call to worship, we are blessed by God in order to be a blessing to others. So how do you do that? Well, for me, it's often the everyday things, the words I choose to use. Are they words of blessing or words of frustration? Do they look and notice people? Do they notice people's pain? Do we see those who are on the margins of a conversation? Do we stop and interrupt our lives in order to reach out to those around us? Another question to ask, would your spouse or your children or your neighbor, would they see you as a blessing in their lives? Your co-workers? Our master teacher here is, of course, Jesus. He was the master at blessing people at every turn. How he took the children in his arms and blessed them, even in the midst of the busyness of his ministry. And it's been hard in the pandemic, of course, because we want to be close. We want to bless people. We want to see their face. We want to give a hug and remind them that God is with us. Touch is so important. And I'm so pleased by the way this church has tried to find ways to stay connected to people, even when we couldn't be close physically. My two children participated in the Pen Pal Friends. They got a name of someone in the church, and I've been amazed how they keep writing back and forth to one another, just talking about their lives. And it's been a blessing to Jack and Lily Kate and to two women here in our church who we have gotten to know through the old art of writing a letter. So let us be conduits of blessing to one another, remembering that even those who we think are strong and have it all figured out, even they need a blessing from God through us, through the gift of our lives, through the gift of us noticing those around us. Everyone needs God's blessing, a connection, a source of hope, a source of peace. We can just start with the people around us. This week when I walked into Watson Clinic for a follow-up appointment, I just looked the security guard in the eye and I said, "Thank you." I can't imagine how many people that he checking temperatures throughout this pandemic. The person who brings the car side delivery to us, the Publix employee who isn't sure who's vaccinated and who's not and is trying their best just to serve us with kindness, to notice people, to call them by name, to say a kind word, to allow God to use us to be a blessing. We have a family member who's been in the hospital for 30 days and has another 15 to go, and she told me that her goal is just to be a blessing to the nurses, to know their names, to remember who they are, because she's gotten to know them over these 30 days. And guess what? They, in turn, have been a blessing to her. To come by her room, to give a special note, to say a prayer. Everyday blessings are all around us, a chance to share with one another. But then there are ways that we as a community bless people. Not just an everyday blessing, a common blessing, but a blessing that transforms someone's life, that changes the trajectory of their journey. A few weeks ago, we had annual conference here in Lakeland virtually, and then we met in this space for ordination and commissioning. We commissioned 15 new provisional members and ordained 14 new elders of the United Methodist Church. And the Sunday after, some of you will remember that David introduced Marissa Gertz Copeland, who has been commissioned as a provisional member and grew up in this church, in the children's ministry and the youth ministry. But there was another person that was ordained that day that grew up in this church. Some of you will remember Kevin Johnson, who grew up in the youth group here when I was a youth intern 25 years ago. Kevin was in the youth praise band with some of us, and he was an energetic person, to say the least. He led the motions at the camp in Leesburg. If you've ever met Kevin, you know that Kevin is filled with joy. He and his wife, Annette, together serve in ministry at Hollywood Hills United Methodist Church. They have 5 children, and he's an amazing elder in the United Methodist Church, and I've been honored for this small time that we've known each other, the long time, I guess, all the ways that we've been connected. But if Kevin were here to tell his story, and I have his permission to share it with you, he would say that it was a particular moment where God really got a hold of his life. He wrote about it in the back of the ordination worship service. He says that in the summer of 93, when he was in the 8th grade, they had gone on a beach trip with the Lakeland Youth Group. When they returned, they went to the chapel, and they had prayer and a devotion. And Kevin heard God say, "Kevin, I can't wait to see the cool things we do together." When that devotional time was finished, Kevin says, he walked out of the chapel and he walked towards the parking lot and encountered an elderly woman who took Kevin's hand, looked him deep in the eyes and smiled and said, "Kevin, I can't wait to see the cool things you and God do together." Kevin says, no one else remembers seeing this woman, but for Kevin, it was the voice of God, the voice of blessing that changed the trajectory of his life. God has called us, the people of God, to offer everyday blessings and to offer blessings that change people's lives. Together as a community, we can do that. We are doing that. And in a world filled with all kinds of things that we don't have time to talk about this morning, all kinds of division and polemics and wonderings about the future, I know one thing for certain: the world needs more blessings for us to receive the blessings of God and for us to share it with everyone we meet. It will require us to slow down and to be interrupted, which I admit is difficult for me. But when we do, God shows up in ways we never anticipated. One last thing about the scripture passage. Do you notice the focus on God's face? God's face is mentioned more than once. Make his face to shine upon you. lift up his countenance upon you or turn his face toward you, as some other translations have. The face of God is an interesting study in the Old Testament. Go back and look at it at another time. But I'm reminded that in the book of Exodus, Moses wanted to see God's face, right? Show me your glory. And God said, no one can look upon my face and live. This is Exodus chapter 33. But here in Numbers, it says, let your face shine upon you. Turn your face toward me. This notion of God's face is a reminder that God wants to have a personal connection with us, a blessing, a relationship with us. And what's been so hard over this time is that we can't see each other's faces. We're virtual or we're in masks and we haven't been able to see each other's face. The good news that is filled from the beginning of it to the end of this book is that God turns his face toward us, smiles at us, shines his light upon us, and gives us peace. And in the midst of all that is happening here and around the world, thank God. Thank you, God, that you turn your face toward us. Any of you have a family reunion this summer in one way or another? Well, I know families are starting to gather again. Just last week, our family finally got together after 2 years of not seeing my mother and all of my siblings and their children. We got together. We were all vaccinated. It felt safe to us. It was a blessing to be there, just to see one another, to see each other's faces, to be in the same room. And I know some of you have not yet had the opportunity to do that, and I pray you will soon. While we were there, my mother gave me a book. I recognized it as soon as she gave it to me. It's the memorial book from my dad's memorial service 15 years ago when he died at the age of 61. I remember it because I wrote in the front of it. I was the pastor, officiating pastor at my dad's service in Cocoa Beach at the time. But what I didn't realize is my mom had taken the time during the pandemic to cut out all the cards that she had received and to place them in the back of the book. All the flower cards and all the cards people sent. And I had seen many of these, but I had never looked at them all at the same time. And as I was flipping through it and looking at it, I found a handwritten note that someone had sent my mom, a 3-page note to my mom and our family. I don't think I've ever seen it before. But as I read it, it's from a man who knew my dad from when they were working together for 15 years. And he simply wanted to write a handwritten note to tell me and our family about my dad and his work. And as I read it again this week, I thought, what a gift. What a blessing that Steve took the time to write that note, to talk about how my dad and he would stay up and watch the baseball games when they traveled, to talk about history, to talk about their work together, and to just share a few notes about their life together as they served in the Department of Defense in equal employment opportunity. What if Steve hadn't chosen to write that note? The book would not be complete. The story would not be complete for me and for our family. Just a note of blessing. We know of those who have passed away in our church this week. We know that we've lost 2 or 3 United Methodist ministers just this week. Some of you remember, of course, Bob Gibbs, who served as your senior pastor. His father, Mac Gibbs, died on Friday of this week at the age of 100. Walter Edwards, both Mac Gibbs, McCoy Gibbs, and Walter Edwards were district superintendents in the United Methodist Church in Florida. Some of them will have services this week or in the future, and I pray the community will surround them just like the community surrounded me and my family. To look at this book, to remember who was able to come, was a blessing and a reminder, God is faithful. God is with us. We are not alone. So may we go forth in God's name with the joy of Christ, the presence of the Holy Spirit, receiving the blessings of God and sharing it with others. May it be so, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I'm so glad you were with us in worship this morning, both here and online. And I hope that this service has been a gift to you, a gift of God's blessing, a recognition of God's presence, and a reminder that we are sent forth to be God's blessing to others. We're sent forth by God's blessing and sent forth to be a blessing. We're going to close our service by sharing together in that benediction. I'm going to invite us, as we do, to actually keep our eyes open and just look around the room and share this blessing with those around us, reminding all of us of God's presence and God's care in our lives. Let us share together in this benediction. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. Go in peace.